This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. First, we shape our dwellings, Winston Churchill famously said, and then our dwellings shape us. Think of the particular serenity of sitting on a porch overlooking a lake, the awe of looking up at towers on a Manhattan street, the sinking feeling of pulling into a strip mall. A growing body of research shows that humans respond to the built environment on measurable cognitive and physiological levels. The upshot? Boring architecture takes a toll on our psyches and our bodies, leaving people feeling less social, stressed out, and possibly even more prone to attention deficit disorders. That's a problem in many places where big, boxy retail chains, drugstores, and bank branches are just about the only thing being built. Jacoba Urist is an art and culture journalist, and she surveyed a number of studies for her article, The Psychological Cost of Boring Buildings, for New York Magazine. And Jacoba, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So architects and planners have long argued for more interesting cityscapes. Now cognitive scientists, too. Is there a general conclusion about the studies that you surveyed?
Yeah, you know, what I thought was so exciting about all of these studies, and they come from sort of different angles, looking at the problem of architecture and building interesting, well-thought and well-planned cities. But what's so interesting is what I call visual buzz. They all sort of generally agree that human beings benefit and thrive in environments with some visual buzz. So that's kind of the takeaway, I think, from all of the studies. We don't, as humans, tend to do well from an emotional, psychologically, and pro-social point of view when we're bored, when we're surrounded by, I know I'm from New York City, and we often lament that it's Chase Bank after Starbucks after Chase Bank, and the blocks all start to look very boxy and boring, even in a city as exciting as New York. So I think... yes, all of the studies taken together point to the argument that human beings psychologically and emotionally benefit from variety in their built environment.
So if they find buildings boring or untextured, I think the word is that you used in the article for planners, I understand that. But there's this paradox, I thought, that boring buildings actually stress people out.
Yeah. So there was a scientist, Colin Ellard, who I really loved his book. He's a neuroscientist. He wrote a book called Places of the Heart, The Psychogeography of Everyday Life. And he partnered with the Guggenheim Museum in Lower Manhattan about 5 years ago. And he became really interested in this building on the Lower East Side on East Houston, a big Whole Foods building. This complex is sort of a Whole Foods on the bottom, but then there are all of these apartments on top. And it was plopped onto the street, if you know Lower Manhattan, in an area that's what I call notoriously textured. It had a lot of little sort of knish shops on that block. That area has a lot going on. And he looked at this building that was plopped there, and he wanted to sort of measure what happens to people when they're walking by this building. And so he put these bracelets on people to measure their physical excitement and to also have them to write down words that they associated as they were walking by this monolithic Whole Foods. And so he had also a test site where he then after that took them to another block very close by in the same neighborhood that didn't have this huge boxy type complex plop down. And yeah, he saw that actually when people walked by the Whole Foods as opposed to the block that was sort of messy with a lot of open windows and restaurants, that they actually recorded words like bland, monotonous, and passionless. And then also their skin conductance, so their actual electrodermal response on these little bracelet sensors that they wore actually reached a low point in front of this Whole Foods. So sort of taken together, he looked at that and said, gosh, our bodies and our minds do actually respond negatively. It goes meh. Our minds and our bodies go kind of blah or meh when we're around these boring blocks.
And corresponding research found that even small doses of boredom actually generate stress.
Yeah, I found that really interesting because that was a separate study done actually by psychologists. And when they showed people videos, they actually found that the boring videos actually increased things like heart rate and cortisol levels more than sadness. So I found that really surprising that these small jolts of boredom could actually affect your body in ways that was even sort of worse than jolts of sadness.
And to go even further, a possibility of links to attention deficit disorders. And we should know, you know, they are most often biological factors, but there's actually a connection between ADD, ADHD, and bland surroundings.
Yeah, the most powerful study that I found was actually about children, and that physicians linked environmental deprivation. So that means homes without toys or other stimuli. I mean, I think we all think about children's rooms, and when you're designing a nursery and you think of all of the color and the art and the books and the stuffed animals, and that actually homes without all of this kind of stimulus, whether in their room or in the home more generally, was actually a significant predictor of symptoms of ADHD. And so I think that's a powerful study, you know, when you think about design and the idea that mind-numbing places, when it comes either to where we work or live, can really have an effect. And of course, you know, the prevalence of adults with ADHD is rising, and there have been cases where doctors talk about people who change their environment to alleviate some of the symptoms or quote-unquote treat their ADHD. So that if you have a desk job that you find particularly mind-numbing and boring and you have ADHD, one doctor talks about how his patient switched his work environment to one that had him constantly on the road, traveling, seeing different parts of the country or traveling places, different parts of the city, and that actually, quote-unquote, as a doctor calls it, treated his ADHD from changing his work day to something that had a lot of variety, a lot of visual buzz, as it were.
So many people complain about the economic downsides of big box stores. Well, we're talking about the aesthetic ones. Jacoba Urist is with us. She's an art and culture journalist who also focuses on science. And she's speaking with us about an article she wrote for New York Magazine called "The Psychological Cost of Boring Buildings." I'm thinking about, you know, that description of a child's room with paintings and toys all over the place. A lot of people would find that messy. And I'm sort of imagining designers, you know, putting things neatly into little boxes.
Right.
So
right.
Why do people respond to that mess?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I'm a parent, and so I can definitely relate to the desire to have, you know, a clean, orderly environment and not a jumble of toys everywhere. But I think one of the things to keep in mind is that there have also been studies that human beings respond well to what they call awe, the scientists that I interviewed and looked at their work. So sort of jaw-dropping moments or things that shake us out of our kind of lull of status quo going about our business but give us this quote-unquote visual buzz, that is something that human beings respond to. And one thing could be, you know, we evolved, as one researcher explained, in a very dense, visually interesting, messy environment. Obviously, as primates and early humans, we didn't have these neat, you know, container store organizational systems, nor did we have subdivisions and these planned communities. So we did evolve in these highly complex, visually dense environments. And so, you know, that could be part of sort of when we think about who we are as humans and what we intrinsically or intuitively connect with.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel, you know, I used to live in the city, but when I go there now, I feel just tired and overstimulated. You know,
sure.
I don't want to live on the Las Vegas Strip, certainly, which I suppose has a lot of texture. Is there a happy medium between too much stimulation and too much sort of bland order?
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, every researcher that you talk to in this field, and I did obviously for the story that I've, you know, that I've interviewed, they each went out of their way to say, look, I'm not saying that human beings function best in an environment that looks like Times Square or, as you brought up, the Vegas Strip. So there is such a thing, of course, as overstimulation. And when you brought up the ADHD link, what's interesting is that at the same time, the non-biological forms of ADHD may be, for some, because they're in this hypersaturated environment. There's constant input, right, with a 24-hour news cycle and texts and emails. And one doctor called it, I believe it was a severe case of modern life as opposed to actual sort of biological ADHD. So really the trick is to somehow, as you say, find this happy medium where we're sort of programmed to respond to this visual buzz, but at the same time, we don't want to have this overstimulation, as you talk about, which absolutely can lead to perhaps, this exhaustion of modern life and this oversaturation. And I do believe there are many examples, at least in the city that I know the best, which is my own New York City. I think there are plenty of examples of neighborhoods and buildings that very much strike this balance between giving us this visual buzz but not overstimulating.
Well, Jacoba, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jacoba Urist, an arts and culture journalist. She writes regularly about art for The Atlantic. We found her article, The Psychological Cost of Boring Buildings, at New York Magazine. You'll find a link to read it for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.